of God. Thanks be to God. In the next few weeks, we're going to be spending some time with Jesus as he delivers his message on the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, it is at the very beginning of that conversation, when Jesus has gathered his disciples around him, and we can assume that the crowds were still gathered in and around, so that there were multitudes to hear this message. So why does he begin where he begins? Well, I want us to think about just last week when we were reading the scripture in Matthew in chapter 4. And John the Baptist was beginning to recede as he was put into jail. And Jesus was beginning to rise. And the first message we hear is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then he calls his disciples. And after he calls his disciples, he begins to proclaim the message. And as he goes around bringing healing and wholeness and restoration, people begin to flock. And he might be wondering, are they flocking because of my message? Or are they flocking because of the miracles? So the very first thing he does is he goes up that mountain and he sits down. His disciples gather around him and he begins by proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. So as we listen to these blessed are, I want us to think about what would heaven look like. And he begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So those who are in despair, those who are feeling hopeless, those here on earth who feel that they do not matter, that maybe they're not even a shadow in someone's eyes, they in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, will know that they are beloved. In the kingdom of heaven, they will feel hope. In the kingdom of heaven, they will feel the love of God surrounding them. So in God's kingdom, the poor in spirit recognize their value and their love, and that they are God's beloved child. Then he goes on to say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." They will be comforted. In the kingdom of heaven, those who are grieving here on earth will no longer grieve. They too will be restored. Their hope, their love, their sense of being connected to God and connected to the ones they love, completely restored. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no grief. And comfort abounds. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek always seems to get us into trouble sometimes, doesn't it? When we think about what does it mean to be meek? Meek does not mean to recede and let others walk across us like a doormat. Meek or humble means that we stand in a right relationship with God, use the gifts God gives us, and allow that to flourish, recognizes that they come from God through us out into the world. And when we do that, when we give God the glory for that which God is doing through us, we recognize that we are inheritors of this kingdom of heaven. We're inheritors because we are in a right relationship with the King of Heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In the kingdom of heaven, there will not be injustice. In the kingdom of heaven, justice and mercy reign. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. That which needs to be healed is healed in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is a blessing of integrity. If we are in a right relationship with God, in a right relationship with the world, we will see God in those we look at, but we will see God in the kingdom of heaven. Integrity reigns in God's kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called, God bless you, children of God. Peace reigns in God's kingdom. Not absence of war, but peace reigns. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's about our faithfulness. Those who are faithful to God's call and stand firmly on what God calls us to stand on may be persecuted by a world who doesn't like that message. But we will receive acceptance into God's kingdom because we are remaining faithful to what God calls us to do and be and say. But it's at this point that these blessed proclamations by Jesus change. Jesus has given them this image of the kingdom of heaven as a place where peace, love, joy, mercy, justice, integrity reign. And then if you notice in verse 11, he switches. Blessed are you. Now he moves from telling us what the vision looks like to those of us who are moving and being followers of Jesus to where we are going. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. If we, as followers of Jesus, are to proclaim this message of the kingdom of heaven, do you think the powers of the world will like what they hear? Do you think the powers of the world want peace, justice, and mercy in the world? Or do they want that which they can have for themselves? So Jesus is recognizing with his disciples and those who are listening and wish to follow that the choice to proclaim God's kingdom is a choice to deny the kingdom of the world. To not deny the earthly kingdom for the heavenly kingdom. And when you do that, you will be persecuted because you are a threat to those who only want power and control. And then he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he's encouraging us to be in a right relationship with God and to proclaim that message of salvation for the world because we are in the company of saints who have done that before. And the reward is being members of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus gives us a vision of God's kingdom of heaven and the God's kingdom that he desires here on earth. And I thought about visioning and how I've asked us, what is our vision for Plank Chapel? Where do we see ourselves going? Who do we see ourselves becoming? In 5 years, what will this place look like? And I've noticed we've had some trouble talking about vision. So I wondered if it was because our focus was wrong. That we were talking about vision in terms of our focus for ourselves, what we wanted for Plank Chapel, what we desired for Plank Chapel, what we believed Plank Chapel would look like. Well, this morning we're given a vision by God of what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And if we are followers of Jesus, that means that we are followers in such a way that we're going to proclaim that with how we live and work and breathe and be God's church here on earth. So what if we were to choose to vision our future as how we can be kingdom people in everything we say and do? So I thought about one of the places where that vision seems to be erupting here in Plank Chapel. And I thought about our aging community and all of those who are pretty much isolated in their homes. That it is through outreach and visiting that we become Christ to them. But it is also through the gatherings that we have that began in Senior Circle in the 1980s, 1990s, that began to allow members within our community to have fellowship together. And then that got expanded to Four Seasons Cafe, a small group who have fellowship together, and faith and fitness that has become 50s plus, faith and fitness, again, fellowshipping together, but dealing with not only our spiritual growth, but our physical activity, that we are choosing to reach out into the community and offer a place where those who feel disconnected by age, isolated by age, have a place to come and regain that connection. Those who often feel isolated in their homes would say that our outreach needs to be stronger, needs to be deeper, needs to be more consistent, that we need to have integrity in that aspect of our vision. So then I thought, well, what if we take God's vision of the kingdom into our leadership? What if our education committee, as they gathered and talked about the educational growth of our church, how are we being Christ here? How can we form our children, our youth, our adults to know better to live as Christians in the community? How are we offering the things that we need to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can be formed to be proclaimers of this kingdom? Are we having integrity in our meetings? Are we being peacemakers in our meetings? Are we being faithful to the commitment of our meetings? Or even in our worship committee, if we gathered and we spoke about how worship is created and designed such that the kingdom is proclaimed in our music, in our prayers, in our special altars, in all of the aspects that God's kingdom reigns here on earth at whatever hour we meet to worship. Or if our finance committee were to think about how we deal with the questions of justice and injustice. Do we have integrity as we meet as a committee? Are we thinking about the needs, the wants of the community? Is our mission committee looking out into the world to see where healing needs to be, where grieving is happening, where people feel hopeless, and we can be those instruments of hope? And our trustees, when they think about the structure and this plant and this land that we worship and grow and teach on, are they doing it in such a way that the people want to come and receive and not be hindered by who we are and what our structure is like? Or our age levels, are we planning events that are inclusive to everyone, that have times when people can fellowship and just have fun? Or times when people can come and receive the spiritual nourishment because they're hurting? Does our church council meet in such a way that our primary question is, how does this event, how does this meeting, how does this opportunity reflect the kingdom of heaven? How would God call us to be followers in this? But then the question of vision has to move to our own lives. Because we know that when two or three are gathered, so are two or three different opinions. So sometimes being disciples of Jesus Christ and followers along the way, we get lost unless our own personal vision of the kingdom of God is developed, is nurtured, is grown, so that we might be the voice of integrity in one meeting. We might be the voice of healing in another. We might be the voice of peace in a third. How does God's message through Jesus Christ on that sermon on the Mount, with the disciples gathered all around, and we might be out there in the crowd, we might not be that close group because we're afraid to get a little bit close, because it's a challenging message by Jesus to us. It's a very challenging message. Are we ready to hear it? Are we ready to allow God to work within us, refine us, transform us, so that our relationship with God is our primary function in life? That everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, every breath we take is breathing in the Holy Spirit and breathing out the message of salvation. Jesus was speaking to the disciples and to the crowd about repenting, about turning from the kingdom of the world and turning towards the kingdom of heaven, which has come near. Every Sunday, as we gather and we worship together, we offer a prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And in one part of that prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus called his disciples to come and follow him. Jesus calls us to come and follow him, to go fishing. Jesus also calls us into the kingdom of heaven, that kingdom is ours as it is our neighbors and the strangers. It is ours because we are those who fight for God's kingdom here on earth. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to be easy, because the world looks at the church and says, "Hypocrite." The world looks at the church and finds reasons why we shouldn't gather. And then we in the church hear those messages, and we begin to do that to one another. We begin to not have integrity in our conversations. We begin not to bring healing into our families where there has been strife and discord. We have members who are grieving and lonely that we don't offer comfort. We have people who are low in spirit and need that voice, that helping hand, to remind them that theirs is the kingdom and that there is hope for the hopeless. As you came into worship this morning and I walked in and I saw youth in their basic shirts, I saw smiles from people I hadn't seen in a while. I see young and I see old. I see the possibilities of God's hope here. What if Jesus' vision of the kingdom of heaven were to break forth here in this place? I believe it has, and I believe it is continuing, because the work of transformation is an easy work. It is work that makes us disgruntled sometimes. It's work that makes us stomp our feet sometimes. It's work that makes us want to say bad things about each other sometimes. But that means that God's working. Jesus calls you blessed, each and every one of you. We are blessed by God. We are God's beloved children. And the call for us to move forward into the vision God has for us is a call for this place to be the kingdom of heaven here on earth, however God manifests it. We're not too young. We're not too old. We're going to sit on that mountain and we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say, remembering that every word he tells us over the course of these weeks is words to guide and direct us and to transform us into his disciples, into his followers. He doesn't want fans. He doesn't want people who've gone fishing to relax, but who are serious about who they're going to catch. I'm excited about what God is doing in this place. I look on your faces and I see the joy of the Lord. So let us gather around Jesus over the course of the next few weeks and learn what vision he has for us. And let us remember in each of our meetings to keep our focus on God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.